Chapter 74. A variety of little matters necessary to be gone through, apostrophe replied Carker. But do you know this is quite unusual with me, educated in a distrustful school, and who am not generally disposed to be communicative, apostrophe he said, breaking off, and speaking in a charming tone of frankness, but I feel quite confidential with you, Major Bagstock. Apostrophe, you do me honor, sir, apostrophe returned the major. You may be. Apostrophe, do you know, then, apostrophe pursued Carker, that I have not found my friend our friend, I ought rather to call him apostrophe, meaning Dombey, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the major. You see me, Mr. Carker, standing here. J. B. Apostrophe, he was puffy enough to see, and blue enough, and Mr. Carker intimated that he had that pleasure. Then you see a man, sir, who would go through fire and water to serve Dombey, apostrophe returned Major Bagstock. Mr. Carker smiled, and said he was sure of it. Do you know, Major, apostrophe he proceeded, to resume where I left off, that I have not found our friend so attentive to business today, as usual? Apostrophe apostrophe, no? Apostrophe apostrophe observed the delighted Major. I have found him a little abstracted, and with his attention disposed to wander, apostrophe said Carker. By Jove, sir, apostrophe cried the major, there's a lady in the case. Apostrophe, indeed, I begin to believe there really is, apostrophe returned Carker. I thought you might be jesting, when you seemed to hint at it, for I know you military men. The major gave the horse's cough, and shook his head and shoulders, as much as to say, well, we are gay dogs, there's no denying. Apostrophe he then seized Mr. Carker by the buttonhole, and with starting eyes whispered in his ear, that she was a woman of extraordinary charms, sir. That she was a young widow, sir. That she was of a fine family, sir. That Dombey was over head and ears in love with her, sir, and that it would be a good match on both sides. For she had beauty, blood, and talent, and Dombey had fortune, and what more could any couple have? Hearing Mr. Dombey's footsteps without, the major cut himself short by saying that Mr. Carker would see her tomorrow morning, and would judge for himself. And between his mental excitement, and the exertion of saying all this in wheezy whispers, the major sat gurgling in the throat and watering at the eyes, until dinner was ready. The major, like some other noble animals, exhibited himself to great advantage at feeding time. On this occasion, he shone resplendent at one end of the table, supported by the milder luster of Mr. Dombey at the other, while Carker on one side lent his ray to either light, or suffered it to merge into both, as occasion arose. During the first course or two, the major was usually grave, for the native, in obedience to general orders, secretly issued, collected every sauce and crew around him, and gave him a great deal to do, in taking out the stoppers, and mixing up the contents in his plate. Besides which, the native had private zests and flavors on the side table, with which the major daily scorched himself, to say nothing of strange machines out of which he spirited unknown liquids into the major's drink. But on this occasion, Major Bagstock, even amidst these many occupations, found time to be social, and his sociality consisted in excessive slyness for the behoof of Mr. Carker, and the betrayal of Mr. Dombey's state of mind. Dombey, apostrophe said the major, you don't eat. What's the matter? Apostrophe, thank you, apostrophe returned the gentleman. I am doing very well. I have no great appetite today. Apostrophe, why, Dombey, what's become of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked the major. Where's it gone? You haven't left it with our friends, I'll swear, for I can answer for their having none today at luncheon. I can answer for one of them, at least. I won't say which. Apostrophe, then the major winked at Carker, and became so frightfully sly, that his dark attendant was obliged to pat him on the back, without orders, or he would probably have disappeared under the table. In a later stage of the dinner, That is to say, when the native stood at the major's elbow ready to serve the first bottle of champagne, the major became still slyer. Fill this to the brim, you scoundrel, apostrophe said the major, holding up his glass. Fill Mr. Carker's to the brim too, and Mr. Domney's too. By gad, gentlemen, apostrophe said the major, winking at his new friend, while Mr. Domney looked into his plate with a conscious air, we'll consecrate this glass of wine to a divinity whom Joe is proud to know, and at a distance humbly and reverently to admire. Edith, apostrophe said the major, is her name, Angelic Edith. Apostrophe, apostrophe, to Angelic Edith. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the smiling Carker. Edith, by all means, apostrophe said Mr. Domney. The entrance of the waiters with new dishes caused the major to be slyer yet, but in a more serious vein. For though among ourselves, Joe Backstock mingles jest and earnest on this subject, sir, apostrophe said the major, laying his finger on his lips, and speaking half apart to Carker, he holds that name too sacred to be made the property of these fellows, or of any fellows. Not a word, sir, while they are here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, this was respectful and becoming on the major's part, and Mr. Domney plainly felt it so. Although embarrassed in his own frigid way, by the major's allusions, Mr. Domney had no objection to such rallying, it was clear, but rather courted it. Perhaps the major had been pretty near the truth, when he had divined that morning, that the great man who was too haughty formally to consult with, or confide in his prime minister, on such a matter, yet wished him to be fully possessed of it. Let this be how it may, he often glanced at Mr. Carker, while the major plied his light artillery, and seemed watchful of its effect upon him. But the major, having secured an attentive listener, and a smiler who had not his match in all the world in short, a devilish intelligent and able fellow, apostrophe as he often afterwards declared, was not going to let him off with a little slyness personal to Mr. Domney. Therefore, on the removal of the cloth, the major developed himself as a choice spirit in the broader and more comprehensive range of narrating regimental stories and cracking regimental jokes, which he did with such prodigal exuberance that Carker was, or feigned to be, quite exhausted with laughter and admiration. While Mr. Domney looked on over his starched cravat, like the major's proprietor, or like a stately showman who was glad to see his bear dancing well. When the major was too hoarse with meat and drink, and the display of his social powers, to render himself intelligible any longer, they adjourned to coffee. After which, the major inquired of Mr. Carker the manager, with little apparent hope of an answer in the affirmative, if he played picket. Yes, I play picket a little, apostrophe said Mr. Carker. Backgammon, perhaps? Apostrophe, apostrophe observed the major, hesitating. Yes, I play backgammon a little too, apostrophe replied the man of teeth. Carker plays at all games, I believe, apostrophe said Mr. Domney, laying himself on a sofa like a man of wood, without a hinge or a joint in him, and plays them well. Apostrophe, in sooth, he played the two in question, to such perfection, that the major was astonished, and asked him, at random, if he played chess. Yes, I play chess a little, apostrophe answered Carker. I have sometimes played, and won a game it's a mere trick without seeing the board. Apostrophe, by gad, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the major, staring, you are a contrast to Domney, who plays nothing. Apostrophe, oh. He. Apostrophe returned the manager. He has never had occasion to acquire such little arts. To men like me, they are sometimes useful. As at present, Major Backstock, when they enable me to take a hand with you. Apostrophe, it might be only the false mouth, so smooth and wide. And yet there seemed to lurk beneath the humility and subserviency of this short speech, a something like a snarl, and, for a moment, one might have thought that the white teeth were prone to bite the hand they fawned upon. But the major thought nothing about it. and Mr. Dombey lay meditating with his eyes half shut during the whole of the play, which lasted until bedtime. By that time, Mr. Carker, though the winner, had mounted high into the major's good opinion, insomuch that when he left the major at his own room, before going to bed, the major, as a special attention, sent the native who always rested on a mattress spread upon the ground at his master's door along the gallery, to light him to his room in state. There was a faint blur on the surface of the mirror in Mr. Carker's chamber, and its reflection was, perhaps, a false one. But it showed, that night, the image of a man, who saw, in his fancy, a crowd of people slumbering on the ground at his feet, like the poor native at his master's door, who picked his way among them, looking down, maliciously enough, but trod upon no upturned face as yet. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.